said, it's a great privilege to stand in front of our congregation. As I used to mention earlier, when you want to know the benefit of this congregation or the best thing about the congregation, you need to attend another church or another worship. So my last 1 year, I was living in San Diego. I realized how much I missed Columbus Bible Chapel. You know, I mean, I'm saying that one with a pride as well as with a fear, because I don't want, you know, that should be considered as a wrong statement, because our worship is the best. That's what I'm saying. Our worship is the best. I do not want any way to Satan to enter into our church. So we need to be vigilant about that. We need to be praying more and more about our church, our assembly, our elders, and each family in this assembly. I was attending a church, a Bible chapel, which starts at 8 o'clock, starts at 9:30, and the first session is exactly the worship, our worship service. I am the youngest guy in that congregation. Almost everybody is elder than me, and we are only 8. And again, the eldest brother from the back of the bench comes to me and said, "Brother, can you sing that song?" Then I say, "Come on, you're asking me. My wife and my son is not here around." I used to sing along with them only. So I said, "Yeah, I know that song." "But you start." He said, "Just for the confidence sake." So that was the worship. And the worship, only 8 people. Then after that, then there will be a Sunday school. The church fills into 75. Then there is a family Bible hour. The church is 200. Worship is totally ignored. It was very painful. It was very painful. And it was a monotonous repetition. And people are coming there only for, you know, the time to break the bread. There's no worship, nothing is there, no songs, nothing. So when you are seeing that type of church, it is not their fault. The people are not interested. And sad thing is, the 8 people, I mean, I said the elders, I mean, elder people or the elder citizen in that church, they are ill. They want to get the youngsters back to the church, but they don't want to. So that was the place that I was. So, you know, when I'm coming back over here, I'm feeling so comfortable. I'm thanking God for each of you. Now, on personal note, I'm trying to get back to Columbus. I know all of you are praying for me. Still, I do not have any job offer from anywhere here. I'm trying my level best. I want your prayers. There are certain leads are there, but nothing is concrete. I want to get back. It is so difficult to be there lonely. Lonely means even the Skype won't help you. I was 24/7 on Skype. Jinder and Jaren was watching me. Once I got a blood pressure, they are watching me overnight through Skype. So it doesn't help you. The Skype won't help you. So I was lonely. I was very much tired. But it gives me chances to concentrate much more on the Word of God, listen a lot of sermon. That was the other side. I was able to listen several messages. Some of them touched my heart, really, it penetrated. And I felt that may be one of the reasons that God sent me to San Diego. I've been to the beaches only once or twice. But the main reason was to listening to the Word of God. That was a good benefit I got. So my messages, which is coming this morning, is a conclusion or a summary of what I heard from one of the messages. And another benefits I got from California. That was last visit. I went to a Nationwide Children's Hospital for an interview. After the interview, I lost my direction as usual. So I went to some wrong places. And then I took a U-turn and somewhere, a cop stand in front of me and said, "Stop, move here." I moved. And he was very angry at me, and he asked me, "Where's your license?" I gave the license. "Huh, from California." I haven't said anything like that. He looked into my license. It's a California license. He said, this place is not like California. Be careful. There's no U-turn here. I said, thank you, sir. I saved 150. So that was another benefit I got for having a California driver's license. So I do have the driver's license. I haven't said any sin. I haven't done any wrong thing. I haven't said any lies. I looked at his face and I left. So that was another benefit I got. Anyway, let's get back to the Word of God. When we are studying the Gospel, we are seeing different views of our Lord from different angles. Apostles and disciples are painting the picture of our Lord in a different ways based on how they are seeing our Lord. We know Matthew and John in their Gospel, they are different. This morning we were discussing those about the same thing. He was asking the same question. Furthermore, from the Word of God, we know that Lord selects disciples for a particular reasons. If somebody can turn into Mark chapter 3, verse 14. If somebody can read it for me, that will be helpful. Mark chapter 3, verse 14.
And he goeth up to the mountain, and called near, and as he willed, and they went away through. And he appointed 12, and that they may be with him, and that he may send them forth to preach.
That's right. I mean, Mark chapter 3, verse 14, I am having the easy to read version. So it says, and he chose 12 men and called them apostles. He wanted these 12 men to be with him, and he wanted to send them to other place to tell people God's message. So it was a twofold reason that he called those people. One, to be with him. Second, he wanted to send them out to preach the gospel. Two-folded. So the first one is to be with him. So when we are studying the gospel, we need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ selected his disciples for a two reason. First one, be with me and understand what I am doing and see my doctrine, and then go and preach. It is not like reading a book and going outside. To be with him. Each of us are considered to be the apostles, or not apostles, disciples, or going ahead with the gospel. First thing we have to do is we have to be with him. Keep this thought in our back burner. When we are studying the gospel, when we are preaching the gospel, first, are we having enough experience with him? For today's meditation, I like to review John's view of our Lord from different angle. Apostle John's view. That's what I'm looking into. I heard a sermon by Sunil Albert, I believe. He was speaking on this topic. It was so nice, so touching. So this is a summary from that sermon. In John's view about our Lord. Let's look into certain verses right now. Some interesting observations in relation to John and Jesus. Let's turn into John chapter 13, verse 23 through 25. John chapter 13, verse 23 through 25. Again, I am reading from easy to read version, so it is a little bit different. One of the followers was next to Jesus, was leaning close to him. This was the one Jesus loved very much. Simon Peter made signs to this follower to ask Jesus who he was talking about. That follower leaned closer to Jesus and asked, Lord, who is it? That's the first verse. The second one, John chapter 19, verse 25 and 26. Jesus' mother stood near his cross. His sister was also standing there with Mary, with wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Jesus saw his mother. He also saw the follower he loved very much standing there. He said to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. That is John chapter 19, verse 25 through 26. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 through 18. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 through 18. When I saw him, I fell down at his feet like a dead man. He put his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the one who lives. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Revelation chapter 22 verse 20. Revelation chapter 22 verse 20. Jesus is the one who says that all of this is true. Now he says, "Yes, I am coming soon. I mean, come Lord Jesus." These are the verses I want to take into our meditation this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for giving us this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to worship you this morning. Lord, we have seen our Redeemer on that cross. We have seen that he sacrificed his own life for us. Lord, you enabled us to worship this morning. Lord, we thank you. Lord, now we are meditating from your words. Lord, help us to understand the meaning of each verse. Let the Holy Spirit guide us, Lord. Be with us. We pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The first verse is about Mark chapter 3 verse 14. It's a well-known verse. We know the circumstances. When you are looking through those verses, what we read, the primarily person in the verses are John, and all are talking about our Lord. So John is looking at Lord in a different angle. Now, the first verse, what we are seeing is, and he chose one of the followers was next to Jesus and was leaning close to him. This was the one Jesus loved very much. So John is sitting very close to Lord Jesus Christ. What a privileged position. Just think about that one for a moment. I am having a lot of problem on my shoulder. I am having a lot of issues on my shoulder. I am facing a lot of challenges in front of me. I do have health problems. Think about when you are leaning next to the Lord and his hand is over your shoulder, what a comfortable position, isn't it? What a privileged position. When we are leaning to our Lord. So John is sitting in a very privileged position. He's leaning on the bosom of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, my first question for each of us, including me, are we leaning on him? Where we are sitting next in relation to Lord Jesus Christ? Are we closer to him? Is he next to us, or we are keeping a separate distance away from him and sitting aside? You know, all of us got a lot of problems. Are we leaning on him? What a blessed status, isn't it, that John got? Where we are in our relation with our Lord Jesus, you know, he is ready to put his hand around you. We were singing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." And we were singing about the sparrow. In my personal life, I am a big failure. I know he is extending in his hand towards me, asking me to lean on him. He is ready to carry my problems. But I try to carry my issues with me, like a person who is on an elevator, carrying the luggage in his hand, instead of keeping it down. What about you this morning? That's a major question. Again, when we are coming back to this particular situation, think about the circumstance of this incident. First thing, this is the first Lord's Supper. This was the first Lord's Supper. he was executing the first Lord's Supper that for us to follow. But don't forget that this is our Lord's Last Supper. He is going to the cross. Immediately after this supper, he is going towards cross to sacrifice his life as a redeemer for each of us. That was the situation. Lord knows what is coming. And this is the first supper for his disciple. So that is the situation. When I was reading those verses, I felt so sad. I do remember that once John Blankenstein, when he was, we were here for a Christmas Eve service, all of us were celebrating the Christmas and we were singing songs. He stand up and asked a particular verse. He said, "What was the feeling in heaven when Lord Jesus Christ was sent to earth? The Christmas Eve. Because the Lord is going to take my sin. He's going to be sacrificed. He knows what is coming." So in the same way, in this particular incident, the first supper with his disciples, but that is the last supper of our Lord. That is the circumstance. Now when you are looking into the other gospel, we know that there was an argument among them along with this time. They were asking, who is first? Who is first? We are talking about his own selected group of people, disciples. They were arguing among themselves, who is first? I mean, the humanity comes up with a lot of theory regarding that. First among equals, all those things comes. His own disciples were arguing about who is first. The Lord is sitting there. He knows everything. And then Lord made a statement. And that statement is interesting, that one of you will betray me. Now, again, going back to the picture again, John is leaning to our Lord. And Peter was standing away. And Lord Jesus Christ made a statement saying that one of you will betray me. Then it's an interesting thing happened there. Peter was not ready to communicate directly with the Lord. He used John to find out the details. He asked John, "John, please ask. Please ask, who is going to betray him?" Let's go to that portion again. If somebody can read it for me. John chapter 13, verse 23 through 28, I believe.
Verse 23, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him."
Let's turn into Mark chapter 14, verse 17 through 19, please. Let me read that one from NIV. Mark chapter 14, verse 17 through 19. "When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, Surely you don't mean me." So there are two questions. First is from Peter. Peter is asking John to ask Lord Jesus Christ. Peter is an important person in this 12, among the 12. But he cannot communicate directly with Lord Jesus Christ. He is asking John to ask on his behalf. When you want to establish a communication with God, you need to be clean completely. You know the conversation which happened before that with Peter. You need to be cleaned. You have to be cleansed. Second thing, you need to have been in communion with the Lord. Three, then only you can establish communication. If you are not leaning on the bosom of our Lord, you do not have a communication, you do not have a communion. Where are you? Where are you sitting in relation to Lord Jesus Christ? Are we sitting away from our Lord? Or are we leaning on Him? We are born again Christians. We accepted Holy Spirit. This morning this question is echoing again and again. Are we leaning on Him? Or we are sitting a little bit away from Him? Forgive me, I am a bit away. I am carrying my weight by myself almost all the time. My tears are flowing from my eyes, thinking that He is not there. I am not leaning on Him in several cases. I do not know about you. So, Peter do not want to ask that question directly. He is asking John to ask. John asked that one very interestingly. Verse 25 in John's Gospel, verse 13. The follower leaned closer to Jesus and asked, Lord, who is it? Straightforward question. John, without a moment of, without any space in between, he turned away to the Lord and said, who is it, Lord? From the Mark Gospel, which was the one that we read, 14 verse 17 through 19, verse 19 says, they were saddened and one by one, they said to him, surely you don't mean me, right? Have you seen the difference in that question? John is 100% sure he is not the person. He is not going to betray him. John is 100% sure. He turned around and said, Lord, who is it? At the same time, other disciples are asking in a different way. Surely you don't mean me, right? They're not sure. What is our status this morning? What is our relationship with our Lord? Are you leaning completely? Do you have the communion with Him? Do you establish that firm communication with Him? Are you able to talk to Him directly and say, who is it, Lord? Or are you going to ask, Lord, you are not going to consider me as a wrong person? Are you? Are you confident? Let me move to the next verse. John chapter 19 verse 25 through 26. Jesus' mother stood near His cross. His sister was also standing there with Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Jesus saw His mother. He also saw the follower He loved very much standing there. He said to His mother, dear woman, here is your son. Again, we know the circumstance, time, and everything. It's a sad situation. Our Lord is alone. Imagine about that. Our Lord is alone. We read that He selected 12 disciples to be with Him. They departed. He is alone. The sky is dark. The soldiers are mocking around Him. Nobody is around. When He was crying from that cross, it was echoing back. He's alone. John was the only one in that vicinity. He was lingering near that cross. What about you? Are you standing near the cross in your office? Are you standing near to the cross when you are in school? Are you standing near to the cross when you are in your own house? It is easy to sing about the cross in this room. But when you are going out, will you be able to stand near the cross? Are you able to linger near that cross? Are you able to stand near the cross? It's difficult. I was trying to talk to one of my directors about Christ. Two or three conversations I was able to make. Then I was giving the ride for this lady. On a third ride, I said, I am attending a Bible chapel. We are Bible-based. She turned around and said, don't talk to me about religion. Full stop. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to talk. But your deeds, your way of life, is that showing that you are standing near the cross? Are you standing near the cross like John? This morning, ask that question to ourselves. Is my deeds, is my way of thought, thinking, is giving a testimony? You know, when you are standing near the cross, a lot of things you have to deny. The world is dead for you. You are not belonging to this world. You left a lot of things which is great for this world. You need to pay a price to stand near the cross. It is difficult. Let us stand near the cross, not only in the church, when you are in public place, when you are in your office, school, wherever you are. Let us stand near the cross. So, are you leaning on his bosom? Are you lingering near that cross? These two questions is, you know, we need to think about ourselves and see where we are in connection with these two verses. Now let us get into Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 through 18. If somebody can read it from any other version other than easy to read version, please. Revelation chapter 1, 17 through 18.
When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, and he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last, and the living one, and I was dead, and before, and life were evermore, and I have the peace of death and of Hades.
What a beautiful picture. John is seeing our Lord Jesus Christ again. The island of Patmos, when he was alone, was seeing him again. He fell down. This morning, we worshipped him. Have you seen him? Have you worshipped him? Are you lying at his feet this morning? Spiritually, through your heart? How was you are praying this morning? Let's examine our own way, how we were sitting in this morning in the worship time. Whether we have given that reverence to him from the heart of the heart. You can worship him only if you will be leaning on him. You can worship him only when you are lingering near that cross. Then your worship will be different. It will not be a monotonous repetition. Before accepting Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I used to attend every Sunday service in our church. It was a denominational Christian church, a traditional Christian church. I used to sing all the songs required there. Some of them are in Hebrews. Some of them are in Syriac. So I was singing all those things. I was sitting there. When the priest turned around, I used to put the cross here like this. I was following a monotonous repetition without any value. This morning when I am worshipping my Lord, I am seeing him here. How you are worshipping Him? How you are worshipping Him? Are you worshipping Him by leaning completely, lying in front of Him completely? That is an important question, isn't it? What is your relationship with your God? Is it a sincere worship you did this morning? Think about it. So, first, leaning, lingering. Now, the last one I said is lying in front of Him. When you're worshipping Him, just re-examine ourselves. How we were worshipping. How it was. Is there any correction required? Correct it and let us do the worship again. So, my last point is Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. Jesus is the one who says that all of this is true. Now He says, yes, I am coming soon. I mean, come Lord Jesus. That last sentence is from John. I mean, come Lord Jesus. If you are leaning on Him, if you are lingering on Him, if you are worshipping Him by lying down, then only you can do the last one. That is longing for His return. For longing for His return, you need to lean on Him. You need to linger near the cross. You need to depend on Him completely. And you need to do a complete worship. Then only you can long for His return. This morning, let's re-examine ourselves. Are we closer to our Lord? Like John? Are we standing firm near that cross? Are we concentrating on our worship? Are we longing for His return? I do hardly this much this morning, but we have to re-examine ourselves using these verses. It's important. I started everything with starting with L. Leaning, lingering, lying, and longing for Him. May I ask Brother James to conclude this with a prayer.
Help us, Father. We ask all these things to thanksgiving. In the first